I'm Dan Hughes in the Softball Corner. Baseball is known as the sport of statistics. Stats have always been fascinating to baseball fans, and the number of stats available to the baseball geek is unbelievable. From simple things like batting averages and ERAs to obscure things like the number of times a player is hit safely with two outs and a man on third, or how well a particular pitcher performs against left-handed right fielders. Some slow-pitch softball teams treat their statistics with the same reverence you see in Major League Baseball. They have their own official scorekeeper who watches every play like a hawk and considers carefully before deciding whether to award a hit or charge an error. Averages are updated and stats are posted to the team website after every game, and they're used to determine batting order and who plays and who sits. Other teams treat the stat books rather casually. They let anyone keep score, maybe an injured player one week, a wife or a girlfriend the next week, just whoever's handy. They keep a book, but they don't follow through by doing the math. That is, they don't figure averages or let the players know how they're doing. And some teams don't even bother with a book. They don't keep stats at all. The manager sets the lineup by gut feeling or the alignment of the planets or who knows how. But here's the ultimate. I played on a team once where I posted the batting stats to the team website after each game, and the manager told me to stop. He didn't want the players to know what their stats were. He saw statistics as a negative, and he didn't want anyone to keep them. No scorebooks in the dugout. The reason he gave me was that when one player knew he was doing better than the other players, that player would act superior. He didn't want his best players to know they were the best players. Okay. There are several reasons for keeping good stats. First, it makes the players feel important and appreciated because someone took the time to observe, record, and calculate the results of every one of their at-bats. Second, it provides psychological motivation for some players who play with more intensity when they know that their performance is being recorded. Third, it helps the manager or coach set the most effective lineup. He can easily see who's doing what, and he can use that information to fine-tune the batting order. Fourth, it may help the coach see things that he might otherwise miss. I was on a team once where one of the players had a high batting average, but after looking over the book, I noticed he had never hit anything but singles. 25 hits in 10 games, every one of them a single. The fifth reason for keeping good stats, it gives the coach a solid, written down in black and white validation for explaining to a slumping player why he's been dropped down in the batting order. And now for the controversial part of the show, I recommend that you keep on-base averages rather than batting averages. I think on-base averages are more revealing and more useful than batting averages. Now, I'm not advocating this for baseball, just for rec league slow-pitch softball. My definition of on-base average is not the one they use in baseball. Mine is a lot looser. In my book, you get the credit if you get a hit, reach base on an error, or get a walk. Now, you don't get credit if a runner ahead of the batter is forced out on a fielder's choice. Lots of people disagree with getting credit for an error, but here's my reasoning. First, even major league scorekeepers often have trouble determining whether a play is a hit or an error, and the pros argue over these calls all the time. Is it fair to let an amateur make such an important call for your players? Second, a sharp batter can cause an error. He may know that the right fielder can't catch a deep fly, so he hits a deep fly to right and gets to third base because the outfielder dropped the ball. Yes, it's a three-base error, but the hitter did it on purpose because he knows the odds were with him. Give him credit for that. Or the batter's a fast runner who wildly stomps his way to first on a grounder to third, and the third baseman sees these antics and gets shaken and makes a bad throw. If the runner had run normally, the throw probably would have been good, but the runner spooked the third baseman. Again, give the runner credit. The bottom line is that when that guy crosses the plate, your team gets one new run on the scoreboard. Whether that guy got the first on a walk, a hit, or an error, the run counts all the same. When you give your guys credit for capitalizing on a bad situation, you give them the incentive to try just a little harder next time. For more tips on hitting, pitching, playing, managing, and coaching adult slow-pitch softball, see the bottom of my website, slowpitchbook.com. That's slowpitchbook, all one word, .com. Thanks for listening. In the Softball Corner, I'm Dan Hughes.